Good morning, Symphony. Good morning, Symphony. We'll be continuing our journey through the book of Isaiah this morning with Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I'll read that for us. Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. All right, so Jeannie got the ball rolling in Isaiah with yesterday's devotional, and maybe it was clear from that the book of Isaiah has a lot of doom and gloom. Especially in this first portion of the book, going through Isaiah's prophecies can sort of feel like wandering through this dark and desolate place. And I think that's what we should feel, because the picture that Isaiah is painting to Judah and Jerusalem is a bleak one. He's trying desperately to show them how their sins are widening this rift between them and the Lord, and just how twisted and deplorable their hearts are becoming. But there is hope. And as we wander through this wasteland of Isaiah, we also find some pockets of light and comfort. Today's passage, though just five verses, is one of the most striking examples of this hope that Isaiah weaves into his prophecies. You see, Isaiah doesn't give God's people a solution to their sinfulness, nor does he empower them to take action. Instead, Isaiah shows them a glimpse of a glorious future. He says, It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills. He shows that the Lord will be in his rightful place, high above all creation for all to behold. But not only that, he says, And all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. It's not just that the Lord will be in his rightful place, but also that there will be a day where all the nations and all the people can freely come to his house to receive from him. After telling the people of Judah and Jerusalem that they're getting further and further away from the Lord, Isaiah promises them that there will be a day where they can come before God, where they're free to behold him and learn from him and walk in his paths, that there's a future for them where one can turn to another and say, Come, let us go up to the Lord together. And they can be with him as his people once more. And as they enjoy the Lord, as God's people truly live as God's people, Isaiah paints a picture of a peaceful, perfect world. One where God is the highest authority, judge between the nations, and where there would be no use for swords and spears anymore. The people will beat their swords into plows and spears into hooks, because there won't be any war. Instead, there will be peace and goodness. This future hope that Isaiah points to is actually quite mysterious for the Israelites, because it seems so impossible. If they took where they were at and compared it to where Isaiah was promising them that they would be, there's this huge question mark on how they could possibly get there. in between their present reality, which was so far from God, and this future hope, which is so near to God, Israel faces this ever-widening chasm. And there was no possible explanation in their eyes for what could bridge that gap and get them from here to there. But you and I know, of course, that the answer, the way, the truth, the life, the one who moves mountains and sets us on new paths and turns swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, is Jesus Christ. He is the one who would go on to close that chasm and bridge that gap. And the impossible hope for the Israelites has become possible and real through his death and his resurrection. Today's passage ends with Isaiah saying to God's people, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come, let us enter into this hope and enjoy his presence once more." For you, whether you feel like you're far from Christ today or near to Christ, I hope you're reminded this morning that the path to him is open wide for you. I hope you're reminded that we have a God who is mighty and awesome and established as the highest of mountains. And he's also a God who has his arms stretched out to receive you. You can be so far from him, you could be so near to him, and there will always be a path open for you to go up to the Lord, to receive from him, to learn from him, to walk in his ways. Let's pray. Lord, we're prone to wander. We're prone to mess up and to find ourselves drifting apart from you. But Lord, we thank you that you are a God who always, always has his arms open for us, who always is willing to open up a path for us. Lord, I pray that we can walk in your light. I pray that we can enter into your presence and receive from you. Help us to cast away the things of this world, to turn from all these different things, and instead to just look single-mindedly and wholeheartedly upon you. Lord, we pray for this future day where the miracle, the revelation of Christ is truly realized, where swords and spears will be beaten down into plows and hooks, where there's no more war, where there's no more sin. Lord, we pray in expectation. Until that day comes, I pray that you can be renewing us every day, reminding us of your kingdom, reminding us of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.